You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was presented by the Reverend Wallace Schultz. Its title, You May Be Down, But You Are Not Done. And now here's Reverend Schultz.
One can hardly imagine a United States political leader in Washington or a Canadian politician in Ottawa entering his office every day and in a routine way signing death warrants for all those suspected of opposing a particular political party. But such a bloody routine did take place in 1956 in a secret speech to Communist Party leaders. President Khrushchev of the Soviet Union admitted that this methodic massacre was part of the Soviet communist heritage. And this was not an isolated case. For 74 years, atheistic communists in the Soviet Union confiscated property, tortured whomever they pleased, and butchered all who opposed their godless ideology. For us to say that the Soviet leaders had absolutely no respect for human life may sound to some like a sweeping and irresponsible statement. However, in his monumental and well-documented 700-page book entitled Stalin, Dr. H. Montgomery Hyde explains that at one period, when Stalin was in power, lists were submitted to him every day. These lists were names of those individuals suspected of dissenting or causing political problems. These victims were not necessarily guilty. They were merely suspected. Then, every day, as part of his regular office routine, Stalin would sit down, and without any problems of conscience, he would make a mark after these names. Thereby, he would signify execution by firing squad. But he was not alone in his bloody butchering. Communists who came before Stalin and many who followed after were equally ruthless. Only they were often more skilled at covering their bloody tracks. When he was in office, President Reagan described the Soviet Union as an evil empire, and this statement caused quite a controversy. Others then tried to make other explanations. They tried to explain the government and the history of the Soviet Union. Various sociologists and journalists and university professors. They also set forth their views concerning the ideology which had governed the Soviet Union with a ruthless iron fist. One of the most interesting analyses of the communist USSR was recently set forth by Dr. Richard Pipes in his book, The Russian Revolution. In the New York Times book review, Ronald Hinsley stated that no other book is so significant for understanding what really happened in Russia. He says that struggles that went on in the Soviet Union for 75 years were not based upon politics, but upon theology. For nearly 35 years, Dr. Pipes has been a professor of history at Harvard University, and he has also served as the director of Eastern European and Soviet Affairs for the U.S. National Security Council. Why would this man, in his much-acclaimed analysis of the Soviet system, now make such a bold statement involving religion? The answer is really quite simple. The ideology which for 74 years drove the ruthless minds of Soviet leaders was an ideology which arrogantly assumes that God does not exist. And it is also an ideology that claims that man is in charge of everything, including his own eternal destiny. Now, for the secular community, this may be surprising that a highly respected scholar from Harvard University would interpret recent history in such a spiritual or religious way. But for Christians, those well acquainted with the Bible, this is no surprise. In the last book of the Bible, in the revelation of Jesus to the Apostle John, Jesus said that great Babylons, or powerful, God-hating forces and institutions, would certainly rise up and try to persecute, or to mislead, or even to destroy the Church of Christ. In the days of Isaiah the prophet, Babylon threatened God's people with destruction. So great was the power of this ungodly empire that the term Babylon has become a great symbol of evil for all time. In every century, the great forces which have waged war against the church have always been called Babylon. In the days of the Apostle John, Rome was the Babylon. Therefore, Christians of our century can then also better understand why the evil empire of the Soviets had surely been the Babylon of our time. But just as the Bible speaks about the deception and the destruction caused by Babylon, so also the sacred scriptures foretell the violent destruction of this same evil power. Babylons may be powerful. They may even represent all the combined forces of the devil himself. Yet believers in Jesus need never fear. They can take comfort every day in the word of our Savior that the gates of hell will never, ever prevail against His church. And so Christians worldwide ought to be celebrating. The cold grip of communism has been ripped away from the hearts and the minds of millions. Believers must realize also one thing clearly. The fact that the godless communistic ideology was able to survive for 74 long years is also a warning that the devil is already preparing another major attack. Consequently, we today must be prepared. How can we as mere mortals be prepared for the attacks of the devil? No better advice is available than the striking example of Jesus. Our blessed Savior, in one of His first major confrontations with the devil, relied neither upon clever arguments nor upon logical strategy. The powerful Word of God alone was His weapon of victory. Therefore, when the devil came to Jesus in the desert, Jesus simply stated, "It is written." And then Jesus spoke the devil disarming and demon slaying eternal Word. In Ephesians chapter 6, St. Paul describes the eternal Word of God as a powerful sword of the Spirit. With this divine tool, we can ward off all attacks of Satan. Therefore, daily Bible reading and meditation must become our first line of defense. Weekly worship further fortifies our spirit against the attacks of the evil one. Furthermore, in preparing for the devil's sudden attacks, one can never stress strongly enough the importance of memorizing key verses and even entire sections of the Bible. The importance of this is also underscored by the experience of Christians in the Soviet Union. During the Second World War, the Soviet communists moved entire groups of people from one part of the Soviet Union to another. In many cases, women and children were separated from their families. They were then moved in windowless and manure-filled cattle cars during the cold of winter, and thousands perished. These women and children from Western Russia and the Ukraine were taken far to the east into Kazakhstan and Siberia. All the Bibles, all of the songbooks, and all the catechisms were taken away. Survivors were forced to rely upon their memory. One historian who recently published a book which describes this cruel and unusual punishment said this: "If these exiles had not, as children, memorized sections of the Bible, the catechism, and the hymnal, then their faith would not have survived, and their children would now all be unbelievers." But the glorious fact is this: thousands of Christians did survive. One century ago, there were several million Lutheran Christians in Russia, but now only a remnant remains. And for the past decades, even until now, outside of the Baltic states, there is not one theologically trained Lutheran pastor to shepherd these Lutheran Christians. Oh, may our gracious God use these incredible events which have recently taken place in the Soviet Union and in Eastern Europe. let them be for us a lesson, a warning, and a blessing, as a warning that the devil is not yet finished in his war against the church, as a lesson that this same persecution can happen to us, and as a blessing, since these events remind us that the Lord always preserves His church. The bride of Christ may suffer violent and bloody persecution, but the faithful will not have their blessed eternal inheritance taken from them. Is not the survival of believers then in the midst of bloody communistic butchery irrefutable proof of God's love of His church? It surely is. God loves His followers as a group and also as individuals. As you face uncertainties and difficulties in this life, with Christ at your side, you can do it with boldness and you can do it with confidence. God is at your side. Say then with the psalmist, O Lord, You are my shepherd, and I shall never want. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. You are always with me. And with this simple faith, you will experience a special strength in your life. Your eyes shall surely see the providence of God, and your heart, overflowing with gratitude for the grace of God, shall surely and spontaneously say with the psalmist, I have trusted in Thy loving kindness, O Lord. My heart shall rejoice in Thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because He has certainly dealt bountifully with me. The preservation of the Christian church in communist lands during the past 74 years is a clear example of God's eternal love. But the most powerful example of God's grace took place when Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son as a willing sacrifice for our sin. And when Jesus died on the cross, our sinful life was paid for by the sinless life of Christ. The Apostle Paul explains God's gospel when he writes, God made Him, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Our sins certainly show us as filthy and condemned sinners before God. But the good news of the gospel is this: the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all of our sin. Modern man may scoff at such good news, but already centuries ago the prophet Isaiah foretold the salvation that Jesus' bloody death would bring. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, for although your sins are as scarlet, they will surely be as white as snow, and although your sins are red like crimson, they will be like wool. Therefore, every moment that you feel lonely, may your heart be encouraged. God is daily present with believers and especially with modern-day martyrs. And every day, the devil will certainly tempt you. The devil wants you to become discouraged over your past failings and your mistakes. But in Christ, let your conscience be unburdened through the sure knowledge that the blood of Christ shed on the cross has the power to cleanse you from all sin. Don't delay another day. Leave your life of uncertainty behind you and put your guilty conscience at the foot of the cross forever and trust completely in the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that Jesus died for your sins and believe that the death of Jesus was a perfect sacrifice accepted by God the Father for a full and complete payment for all of your sins, your mistakes, and your failures of the past. Last January, my family and I relocated here to the Soviet Union. We have come to be with these people who have suffered so long, and we hope to encourage them. We intend to stay here for many more months. We have spoken to many Christians who endured terrible persecution during the reign of the communists, and we intend to bring you first-hand accounts of these events in future broadcasts. We are convinced that when you hear these moving stories of how God preserved His church, then you also, just like we, you will have your faith strengthened. Now, we have already brought thousands of Bibles to these people, and we plan to be broadcasting the gospel of God very soon in several languages in many regions of what was the communist-controlled Soviet Union. We are not ashamed of this work, and we are not hesitant to ask you to pray for and to support this work. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all people." We are taking the Savior's words seriously, and we hope that you will join hands with us. Oh Lord, thousands of people have been politically liberated in Soviet communist lands, and now we pray, enable those of us who know your gospel to also bring your good news of spiritual liberation to these same people. You sent your Son Jesus to bring good news to the afflicted, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. Oh Lord, please help us also in this task. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.